We are here for the September meeting of Mountain Regional Water's Administrative Control Board. Let's call this meeting to order. We are at the regional office here in Park City. Do we have any public
We do
comment?
not.
Okay, no public. And then, do we need to go into an executive session? Is
We do not.
that what all my secret? Oh, this is from last month, right? Oh, yeah. Then we're on to the consent agenda. Does anyone have any changes to the August 18th minutes? Does anyone have any questions about the check register?
They do. Just want to comment on over the last couple of months, I think that the description and the detail has improved a lot
I
in
agree.
the check register. A lot of questions are answered just by looking at the description. So I know that we have to review that, and you didn't come back and say we've been doing it, but it's pretty obvious that there was a lot more detail.
Yeah, I
So
agree.
thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
On the electric relocation and Summit, is that $56,000? Is that like an overrun? Or is there was there a budget in there for some electrical relocation? And then, because it sounded like last time you were doing some of the work yourself, putting some conduit in. So they just come up and do what for $56,000?
It's a whole new steel pole that they're replacing a wooden pole with. So it's there, and then they're also all the conductors that they're pulling new and a new transformer.
Okay. On 30, I think 6:30, there's $5,000 for landscape repairs on that. So is that a result of one of the main line breaks or something?
Yeah, and usually that involves like three or four properties. They'll kind of do all the repair
Okay.
landscaping work we need for repairs for a month and then invoices.
I was glad to see that the Sitaway hay and feed loss was there. So it's kind of like it comes around as frequently as Christmas does for me there.
Yes. Every year about this time,
Know
he
it's
looks for
every year.
that. Yeah.
And on the legal fees that were paid, it was $5,600. And that was for the, I think we had a procurement policy redo. So does that attorney go through and get it in accordance with state law and then hand it over to Dave and then they do look at it or something? Okay.
Yep, and then they approved their fees
Okay.
when they're done.
And then there was a drug testing, and just on the description on there, it said it was accident or random.
It
I didn't know
was
whether it was an accident or random. It's just a detail that got cut off, but I think it's just describing a procedure, whether it's a random or an accident.
Yeah, I think it was one accident and one random is I think what it was supposed to be. Yeah, we had one incident.
Just a little minor fender bender or something.
Trailer hitch came off the trailer. Just they
Coming
popped up and hit a bumper, so we got to get a bumper
past.
fixed. But we sent them for that because we just have a policy that anything that's going to result in an insurance claim, we go have a drug test. So
Right,
good.
that's it for me.
I have a question. I've been meaning to ask, what do we do as far as emergencies go or unexpected expenditures? Do we have a slush fund? Do we budget for that? Can you give me more detail?
We budget so many repairs through the year that we're kind of going to expect, and then we do put a factor on that to cover emergency repairs because there's a lot that we know we're not going to happen. So, for example, we may schedule that we're going to repair two pumps, and then so we'll put that in, and then enough to cover a third just in case. For example, is maybe how we do it, but it's not a separate fund or a separate line item. It's kind of right in the budget.
Okay, so we budget for unexpected as well as expected.
Yeah,
if I could use the terms, expenditures, right?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Karen.
I just had two, that is the Eminent Technical Solutions, our IT security firm?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, and then who is ESRI? ESRI.
That's the GIS.
Okay, GIS.
And that's an annual.
And I along the same lines as Tim, I noticed that there was something marked service line repairs that seemed to involve asphalt, road base, sprinkler or landscape repair, and I just in concrete, and I just wondered if it was where we had done that repair.
Brian, do you have a little more thoughts on where those
could have been the ones solar spring with those concrete involved?
Yeah, whenever we have those smaller ones, we try to aggregate them. So we only have one vendor coming out, and we found a couple of vendors that will do facade. The cement, we've done some cement work, so we just aggregate it. So it's the Silver Springs, Glen Wild.
The one in Sun Peak?
That's not probably too old. Recent one. Yeah, we can't think of any other.
When was the Kingsburg one?
Oh, yeah.
Kingsburg, I think it was one in the preserve.
When you have something in Silver Springs, like some, I'm going to call them a third party, damages the line. Because I think they had someone over there, and I'm guessing they were working under some sort of franchise agreement to put fiber optics in there. Now, if they damage the water line through the franchise agreement, do they have total liability for the fix? But we go in and pay for the fix, and then we go in and recover it from the county through the terms of the franchise agreement or something?
It comes down to a blue stake marking.
But Blue Stakes was being called out by them.
Correct, but we go out and mark it. So in that, I mean, it was a question of whether we marked it accurately or not. So if we did and they hit it, yes, we go after them for reimbursement. If not, we end up.
But we pay the subcontractors to come out and do the fix directly.
Correct.
And then we cover the cost through whatever mechanism we have for that third party that was in there.
Yeah, and if they're, depends on if they're a class A or a class B franchisee. Class A is pretty slick because they have an agreement for the county. Class B's sometimes more of a negotiation.
Okay. It looks like we've got some purchase orders, or maybe one purchase order.
We have one with a really long description. So we planned in the budget for this year to do the discharge and suction slides of the Lost Canyon pumps. This is in the budget already. It's just we're actually buying those discharge valve slides right now. I want to get those purchased this year. And so since it's over $50,000, we ask the board to approve it and sign it.
Do we get, do we, something like that, do we get a number of bids or do we single source?
We have to get multiple bids on something like this that's just parts. So in the packet, you should have had the bid we took and the bid we denied because it was higher.
Okay. And then this is a very unfair question, but do you think that 78 is a pretty good number?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we actually budgeted a little higher, thinking it might be a little more expensive than that. So it seems like a fair price, especially given what we've seen with some of our supply chain supplies this year.
Now, what if that valve doesn't work appropriately? Do they make the repairs?
Brian, you have to address that.
Yeah, and that's the reason why we're doing it, just the current ones don't work.
Okay.
So if we put these new ones in, they don't work, you know, yeah, we'll get another valve from the vendor.
Yeah. Thank you.
Matt?
Do they bench test that stuff?
Yeah, it's all.
So there's a certification that's been bench tested, and then you get that along with the delivery?
Yeah. These are more expensive because they're higher pressure. You know, the pressure we're dealing with is like 460 PSI. So it's uber valves, you know, they're pretty stout.
Okay, do we have any other questions on the consent agenda? And if not, do we have a motion to approve it?
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that's unanimous. On to Steve.
So August results, things didn't change that much from July. If you recall, the end of July, we were just about $1 million better than budget. We just dropped a little bit below $1 million at the end of August. So you can see about $535,000 better than budget in revenue and about $440,000 better than budget on expenses. We did lose, like I said, just lost a little ground. This is all pretty common. Retail water sales is really close to budget, just slightly over, which basically means customers have cut their usage, but not as much as the 40% outdoor and 10% indoor we asked, but they did cut, so we're running tight, close to budget. Promontory raw water, they have not taken as much during the summer, so they're coming in under budget. And also Park City has not taken as much, so they're a little under budget still at this point. Probably the one thing I'd like to point out is we have actually dipped under budget just barely on impact fees by $14,000 by the end of August. So we've really seen the market, the housing market change, and less people coming in and paying an impact fee and wanting to start their construction. So I think we'll be able to absorb that fine within the revenue budget, but I just did want to make note of that to you.
We have not collected any this month.
We collected one for $1,000 on a remodel in Silver Springs yesterday. So,
but yeah, Mike has seen a lot less in the number of applications coming in.
So we had 1.6 million budgeted by the end of the year. We're about 1.15. I think we'll probably be somewhere in the middle. We'll be under budget a little bit.
What do you attribute that to?
Interest rates.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Inflation.
Yeah.
I think people are cutting back.
Yeah, it appears to be on that. And so you kind of, what I've heard in the real estate market, you know a lot better, is a lot of people are waiting to see how it settles.
If it settles,
have prices corrected themselves given the mortgage rates? What's inflation done? So a lot of people are sitting on the sidelines waiting to move. So I think there might be some movement, but for right now, what I've heard and seen is that there's a lot of that going on. But I'll defer to our real estate experts in how and on our board. So operating expenses continue to be good savings out of all departments and areas. Cash is strong. We did make that $500,000 down payment on the land to the county, and still our collections were good enough during August of July's revenue that our cash went up just a little bit. Our cash will probably continue to climb for the rest of the year until we make our big payments in December, the bond payments, the big payment to Weber Basin. And since we're not going to be finishing a lot of capital projects this year, cash will stay strong through the rest
of the year. Steve, you take a look at that day going, the number of days are going from 390, or they're at 398 now.
Yeah.
And so we're 16 days under now. Is that 16 out of 400 days? Is that kind of like within the margin of just rounding errors on the normal monthly budget?
So last month we were 404 days. Is that what you're referring to here, Tim? This 404 right here? So yeah. We're a change of 6 days. It's $140,000 would operate us for 6 days, I guess, is what that's saying. Is so it dropped by that our cash balance.
Okay, so it's not like something you could pin on
rounding or no
revenue going down or anything, because it seems like that's on budget, but it all depends on whether the budget was higher or lower than last year.
Yeah, and this depends a lot more on, because budget and revenue and expenses are going to be very similar year to year. This will move more dramatically with big capital projects getting finished. So then large sums of cash come out and things like
that. But it's still 3.5 times more than what we look at as the floor.
We look at the floor as 180.
Oh, 180?
Yeah.
So it's twice.
It's twice the floor. Yeah, so we look at that. So, and it's actually a little lower than last year at this point. Customer growth. I did put, add a little something in here that we usually don't have. I gave you the connections by month to kind of try to show that. So usually the beginning of the year is kind of slow, 14, 26, 46 in March. Then June and July, June started to act like it normally should. We usually get, you know, a big number then. But the fact that it dropped in July and then dropped again in August, that's another indicator that we're seeing a change in the market. Still better than historical averages, but no, we're losing ground to what we did last year.
Let's say. Losing our ballet out in front of us.
All right, usage. We're about like 15% down compared to last year. So what's interesting, and I'll probably go to another slide, is our residential was down about 20% August to August, but commercial actually went up a little bit this August compared to last August. One of the churches used quite a bit of water, some irrigation areas used quite a bit of water. So that was interesting. So our residential customers continued to be good, but our commercial customers couldn't keep up. Let's say they finally tipped over to actually more using more water this year than they did last August.
What do you think is going on with Summit Water there, where everyone looked like they were coming in under? Is Summit Water just electing to use our supply?
Well, Summit Water,
the cost they're getting at it or something, but still that within their own organization they're down?
More it's a factor of the contract, because remember last year we're going to give them 1,100 acre feet, and this year we're only going to give them 700 acre feet. So they've just kind of proportionally, like where you see they were at 780 over 700 last year at this time, it's because they had to take more water during the year. And this year they don't have as much to take. So probably the rest of this, they're going to kind of save and try to use for snowmaking.
Yeah, they'll bank that for snowmaking.
We're supposed to take a lot this summer.
So, but this number, it'll end up right at 700. They'll take exactly, because it's a take or pay contract. So they want to take all of it.
And as of Monday, the Spring Creek Springs is no longer a source in our system or Summit Water system. That's going to be a big blow.
How many acre feet is it?
It's like almost 600. Five, 60 or something.
Is that going to the stream now?
It will.
We're right in the lakes.
So the Silver Springs residents will be probably quite happy.
And down East Canyon.
All right. Capital budget. I think Sam's going to do a bigger capital budget review, but just no red flags. Everything's kind of proceeding as we want, other than the postponements we've kind of seen this year for some of Park Tank and things like that. Lastly, the one thing that we've really noticed, so the purple line is this year. So when our bills went out in July, it spiked. I think what happened is a lot of people then got their bill in July and realized what drought rates meant. Mm-hmm. So they adjusted their usage, because you see that purple line drop pretty dramatically. So they didn't respond how we thought they would in July, but the August response is kind of what had been modeled, let's say. So just kind of point that out to you. Then in the comparing just August to August, you can see residential was down, but we had some pickup in this irrigation, like commercial irrigation and things like that. So we were down about $25,000 to budget for August. Let's see. So that's about any questions on kind of the August update. Not a big change from what we're seeing, other than the housing market changing and kind of the reaction to the drought rates.
We'll definitely have to figure that into next year's budget.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that into next year's drought model, and also the rate model we're working on. We're doing some sensitivity analysis to those higher tiers. Like if we push people permanently out of those tiers, what do we do, kind of thing. So
yeah.
All right. Just real quick. So this was what I was talking about earlier, that 20%. We still saw a reduction out of our residential customers, but we saw this increase out of our commercial customers. So still down about 16% total of culinary gallons. So, and September, you tell me, we started at super hot, but now we're in a nice rain cycle. So I think usage will be average or down, if I had to guess. So,
All right. Promontory's raw water will increase because they're watering in that new golf course.
Yeah.
So we'll see that. And they
filled up that pond.
They told us they want to water through the end of October.
We let that root in probably. Okay. And then it wasn't part of the original because we didn't have it yet, but you notice that in the new, if you checked online, we did get our Fitch review back. And we stayed and rated AA, but we moved to a positive affirms AA so that we're a stronger position. We're more likely to move up and down from AA. They like our debt to customer ratio still. They like our overall production to use cost to production that we have to produce 1 million gallons of water. It costs us less than $4,000. And that's a good benchmark for them. So those were some of the factors. The nice thing is also in the information we provided to them, we provided that we were looking to go out and bond or debt for about $10 million over the next couple of years. And they saw that as not a factor, that's well within our being able to absorb it. And so this is just a nice, all right, good kind of thing. So included that in the packet for you to see. So, yeah, and Andy let the council know, and they were appreciative of the efforts.
Yeah, and kudos to Steve and Lisa for all the work that they do on the financial side of the district. They really do a great job.
All right.
Just close it. It's gone.
Okay. I think we continue with me, but we're into rate study. Mm-hmm. So there was some information in your packet. I tried to kind of put it in a PowerPoint to help lead the discussion tonight. So just a quick review of why we're doing a rate study. So I'll review what I'm going to cover. I apologize. The need for the rate increase. We're going to look at some usage percentages compared to revenue percentages generated by different customer types. What that will mean to our customers, kind of selecting our method, and then some next steps that'll follow after that. So if you recall from the memo leading to last month, we've had the inflation over the last 2 years. We've seen increases in meters, treatment chemicals, well, basically all our supplies, and repair supplies as well, and repair work. We've added two new positions in 2022 and adding one or two new positions in 2023 that we've got a budget for and get in there as well. And last point is we haven't had a rate increase since January 1st, 2019. So our customers have had stable rates for 4 years.
Where are we adding those two new positions next year? Are they operators or?
More.
So one is tweaking the staff engineer position into a coordinator position. And then the other one, depending on how that position rolls out, whether we do a blue stake inspector, one position, but that one's not as settled, but we'd rather pencil that number in case, and who knows if things really slow down, it may change how we think, but we'd rather pencil that in and not use it than not take advantage of that.
And do we also take into consideration any turnover? I mean, I know it's hard. I mean, it's really difficult.
Yeah. Fortunately, we're pretty stable right now. I think there's more risk at the senior end, those that have been around, than our younger guys.
Whatever, part-timer.
These guys, they've been around a while, not including Brian or Anna. Not like they haven't been in for a while, but, But I think so far, we're checking in with the guys and other people. People are looking for good qualified people.
I know. I'm surprised, and I won't say this out loud, but I'm surprised that people haven't come back to increase their rates per hour. Don't get any ideas. because employment is such a premium.
And the other thing too that we face as a district, it's expensive to live in this area.
We need
to make sure that people we can employ can afford to be here and be able to respond to something that happens within is it 30 minutes?
An hour.
It's an hour, but we don't want them traveling from Harriman, right? to respond to something.
Yeah, you know, it's also very interesting. I mean, people coming from everywhere. I mean, California, Texas. I mean, they think they died and gone to heaven since they moved here.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of did.
Well, we're not going through 115 degree weather followed by a hurricane.
Yeah.
Rain.
Right. So, right.
If that happened, I was thinking, oh man, people are going to move.
Yeah.
We need a real winter.
Yeah. Good snowpack. We might just drive a few.
You don't have a real winter here.
Not anymore.
So this is new, something we haven't shown you before. So we wanted to compare percent usage versus percent revenue generated. So for example, our classifications that we call residential, so homes less than 3,000 square feet, they have 28% of our usage and also generate 28% of our revenue. This was 2021, so that's great. We looked at rural large residential, they have 46% of the usage and generate 43% of the revenue. Our townhomes and apartments, kind of those smaller, you have 7% of the usage and generate 12% of our revenue. And then these other color categories, irrigation, home irrigation, they're smaller percentages and all within a tight range. So this was a very pleasing thing for us to see that, you know, just intuitively, we've set these up pretty well, that we're getting the right amount of revenue from each of the groups. If any large residential had the biggest variance, but they're also a big revenue generator.
Have you communicated this to any of the county council members?
Not yet. This might become part of our budget presentation in October to them. So we thought, well, what would maybe the 2022 drought rates have done to this? Would have it have changed it much? So we ran this for this year through August, and surprisingly, they stayed pretty close to what they were. Large residential still had a little, generated more usage than they generated revenue, just a little bit, but still within good ranges. So, and kind of thinking is, well, how is that? How does townhome, condo, and apartments generate more revenue than their usage? They're not big users. Well, and it really goes to how we've structured it, in that there's a big base component in our rate. So some of you may remember this when we were talking to Summit Water and kind of found out that our customers, the $6.40 mark that we kind of used. So what this does is compare, the orange line is if we did a flat rate increase, and the green line is the tiered rate increase. So these low users, I'll say Ian, since he's not here, for example, actually pay more per gallon than our bigger users because they don't use much, but they still pay the same base.
And yeah, then, if they used only 1 gallon, they'd be paying $60 for that gallon, right?
Exactly. So that's why this model starts here. And so there is a difference between the tier and the flat rate increase, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's exponential. There's a difference, but it's not crazy. So just wanted you to have our new low point will be a little over $7 with our rate model for cost per 1,000 gallons. So then, Joel, you had requested that we kind of compare our rates to the other rates in the district. So this has our current rate that's established, what we're currently charging as drought rates through the end of September, what flat rates would be, and then the tiered rates would be what Park City's rates are, and Gorgoza. The one thing to highlight is Gorgoza is the only one right now that includes gallons in their base. A Gorgoza customer gets 8,000 gallons of water in this $70 base. So then as you start to kind of compare, let's probably try to focus on these three columns. So under the flat or tiered, these early columns, early rates stay the same. Then you can see it starts to creep up more on the tiered than here on this side. When you look at what Park City's doing, their conservation model is much more aggressive. That they jump to $11 quicker, they jump to $15 quicker, and things like that. Not that it's more identical or anything like that, but it's interesting. In the Fitch, they kind of called out that we're all kind of in the same area, and because they do some studies and thought, okay, same water supply, and your guys are doing well. So that's kind of looking at it that way, but let's look at a couple of bills of what this might mean to somebody's actual water bill. So if you're, let's say you're a 30,000 gallon user, under our current, you pay just under $200. Under the flat, you pay $215. Under the tier, you pay $219. If you're in Park City, you'd be paying almost $400. And Gorgosi, you'd be paying less, $207. And then, you know, so let's say a big user, somebody who's going to use 100,000 gallons, a third an acre of water in 1 month. Right now, we would only charge them $1,200. Flat would be $1,300. This way, it'd be about $1,650. So that's the difference we're talking about. And Park City and Gorgosi, you're both over $2,000. Looking at Gorgosi's model, they obviously have a very contained customer base and a very exact amount of water they can sell because they jump really big once somebody gets to that 100,000 gallon mark. So this is kind of just to, again, compare what we're looking at. This was in the memo, but I wanted to put it in a graph. So if we do the tier method, 63% of our customers, sorry, that's a little small, will get about a 9% increase. So I classify those as a small users, less than a third an acre over a year.
And this is assuming that their behavior does not change.
Yeah. 23%.
They're going to get a 9% increase, but how much has inflation gone up since 2019?
Goes back to about that 15% probably. But we're being able to absorb some of that in that we've had some expense reductions. And so, some things have gone up.
I'm just asking the question because I don't think we're in the position of saying, well, we can charge whatever the market will bear.
Yeah.
If inflation is 15%. 9 is what we need, but we're going to charge 15. I don't think our mechanism allows for that.
Yeah. Right?
But just as a comparison.
Yeah. So as a comparison, I think
if our someone's arguing against it, you can say, this is half the rate of inflation. What are you talking about?
Yeah. You haven't had a rate increase since 19. This is all you're at. So 23%, about 12%, 9% under current would be about 19%. And then this small super user, very large user, we'll see a 33% increase. That's that $1,300 to $1,600, for example. So that's how it breaks down.
But just the back to that, our bills in July, large user versus September, dropped off drastically. So although it appears that someone could have a 33% increase, if they change their behavior, they may not have that big of an increase because they're using less water.
Which we're trying to do with pricing, right?
Right.
Yeah, we would like to promote more conservation because on the back end, it saves us from the importation project happening sooner, wear and tear on our system, you know, and just some things like that. So lower usage isn't bad, but we're building into the model where we can be safe if there's a little bit of a move down in this.
Is there any sentiment out there in the public about this concept? I mean, there's another reason we can say we need to conserve, and that's so we can do more development, right? So we don't get into an open situation where they're saying there's no more development because there's no more water, so we put a moratorium on. So if we're using this conservation for the purpose of gathering more water, is it to save the resource or is it to make more land available here to develop?
People have argued that you're asking me to conserve so you can sell more water to the next development. But we here do not, I mean, the Planning Commission has never come to us and said, well, you know, how much water? Yeah, you know, how much water? Joel doesn't call up and say, hey, can you service this project? They just say, yes, it meets the code. You know, yes, it's a proper, you know, land usage. And then we have to figure out how to deliver.
Well, we always ask a question. We always ask the question whether or not they're townhomes or condos or homes, because obviously you get more people on condos and townhomes than the homes for the most part. You get more units. But by the same token, I think we need to be aware of what's being built, so we can anticipate and say, hey, yay or nay on this development. I mean, I don't particularly care if they're making money on this development or that development or this development or that development. What I care about is sort of the supply, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
I don't know what you're seeing or not.
Well, what I think is that in a case of, you know, the development that's already been out there, I mean, they already have water allocated to them. So
it's all the new stuff.
Right. I don't think we're doing new projects, except maybe the stuff at Colville, and that's not really our area. You know, I mean, we're not choosing to serve new things that didn't already have water.
That's a good point.
All right. So kind of looking at the increase, so there's still an increase needed in base and indoor usage. We can't avoid that. That's that 9%. Everybody's got to help cover the expenses of the district. The tiered wood increase higher for higher usage tiers used for irrigation, outdoor watering, what one might consider non-essential. And we kind of broke this down in the drought rates. Remember how we kind of said up to 30,000, we're not going to do much, we're not going to do anything to them, because that's really your living water, what you need to sustain life, or however you want to phrase it, or essential. So we're really looking like there's still an increase to essential that is, you know, material. And there also then will be an increase to this non-essential water that people, for most part, have more control over of what they're going to do with their yards and things like that. It does promote conservation, and then less pressure for us on source development that costs money, wear and tear on the infrastructure that costs money. And the big one is really this importation project. You want to talk about a big rate increase, is if Weber Basin has to come in and say, we're going to do a project to get more water into the basin, that'll cost us all a lot of money. So tonight we're trying to make a decision on the method we want to use. So it's between that flat 12% versus kind of this tiered one that I've laid out a little bit more. Again, we're making this financial result where it would be the same. We'll be able to cover budget. We'll meet our ratios and things like that. We need to do that so we can provide that to Zion so they can finish up the rate study, because kind of give you the timeline of what's going to happen over the next few months. We'll give it to Zions. They've kind of built the model. They can move it back and forth as we do. We had a good meeting with Susie just the other day, and it's looking nice. She'll be up on, or somebody from our organization, she's going to probably be out of town on the 20th, but we'll do a rate study and then roll right into our budget meeting, next board meeting. Then we'll present that to the council on November 3rd. Then we'll have a public hearing where the public will adopt, can have input on those rates. And we still have time to react if there's something surprising that comes out of that, because our budget isn't finalized with the county until December 7th. So that's kind of the timeline we're building for the rest of the year. Unfortunately, you've heard from me a lot, and you're going to hear from me a lot for the next couple of months, probably too. But
when Steve says months, he really means weeks. Because, I mean, we're already halfway through September. We need to give Zions 3 weeks to put everything in place to have it ready for our next meeting. And so what we're asking the board is just to give us direction on if you think a tiered system, tiered rate increase makes sense, or just a straight across-the-board rate increase.
If you look at those dates, are we anticipating anything from the public?
We aren't. We've never had anybody show up at a rate hearing. Even when we rolled out the drought rates, no one showed up.
This year's really different.
This year might be different. But if they do, I think we've got a good story. Or not even just a story. We've got the real explanation of what's happened, why our expenses are going up, why they need to be covered. And I think how we're trying to be as equitable as we can to all our customers.
I mean, I think the public needs to know that. I mean, whether we go on X percent increase or Y or Z percent increase, we better have the rationale for X, Y, or Z. I mean, we just get to say X percent or Y percent or Z percent, and not have any backup
So as we've gone through and kind of started penciling in our budget, we can see where our gaps are and the needed revenue just to meet, you know, our everyday expenses with our debt service, with our obligations to Weber Basin and things like that. And that is where these numbers are coming from. So we do have the data to provide that. We will notice the public for the public hearing. They do have an opportunity. We invite the public to come and ask the questions, but people really only care if they're getting water out of their tap. And
it's true. That's true.
You know, and so we're happy to have that discussion with anyone. We'll notice them in a couple different places. It is a public hearing. It is part of the process. And then, of course, as we meet in front of the council will also have an opportunity to question what we're doing.
The public's going to be sick of it after the property tax issues.
Yeah.
This is Bob.
I've got a question on the tiered approach. The last one we had, we were saying it's taking pressure off the implementation project on the tiered approach. When I went through your chart on there, and you and I talked about this afterwards, there's not a huge deviation between what's getting paid dollar-wise, percentage, you can make an argument, until you get past the 30,000 user.
Yeah,
I mean it's so. If I knew how much the big users were using over 30,000 gallons compared to the other ones, and it looked like all of the district's extra water that was being used is coming from 500 users or something instead of that would be important to me, because by putting the higher cost on them is a way of getting rid of them. But if at the same time, if I saw that 80% of the customers that are using less than 30,000, that's where the water usage is coming from. It's putting the pressure on the importation project. It's not just the residual at the very end there. It's lots of users using a little bit more. And so if you're really trying to drive the pressure down on the importation project, you would be putting higher rates on the ones that are using the greater volume of water.
In total.
Not the one, I mean, the greater in total rather than a couple on the other end. And so if we're using that as an argument there, someone could come in and say we should be putting higher increases on the people that are using the majority of the water that's driving this importation, not just the people that are using 100,000 gallons, because at the end of the day, it might not add up very much for the pressure that's driving the importation project.
But don't you think that the people paying more because they have the wherewithal will bitch and moan and piss on the ground?
Well, all I'm saying is if the 15 or 20 users at the very end stopped watering everything and went to 30,000 gallons, you're saying that takes the pressure off of the importation project. But if 4,000 customers over here are facing a 9% increase, but they really needed to see a 15% increase because that's how much more they want to be using, that's what's going to be driving the importation project pressure than the ones at the higher end. So the reason I'm bringing this up is if you want to use that as an argument for going tiered, you got to be careful
about,
unless you lay those numbers out there that are saying if we do it this way, we should expect to see this much less usage, which means it's going to put this importation project out 20 more years. But if you're only raising a little bit on the other end, and this is generating 50% more water need, then you could actually be getting the pressure from the importation project from the many low users because they raised the rates that much. If that makes sense. Now, I don't know that they can use 50,000. They're probably on a small lot, right? My point is, let's not use that for an argument in there unless we fleshed out that argument, because it might not be,
might backfire,
a compelling argument.
I'll take that out. I mean, yeah, it was kind of something new that kind of came up in conversation actually even this week.
Can I also say, though, like somebody that uses three times the amount
really, the reason you're charging them extra is if they were going to use three times the amount of a regular user's water, they should have paid three impact fees.
Yeah.
And, you know, so an impact fee is anywhere between, you know, $10,000 and $20,000. So, you know, that's how we're getting our money back for somebody that's using, you know, more water than they're
supposed to. I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a second cousin to the folks that are paying $60 a month, even if they use 1 gallon. I'm thinking that that was already baked into the formula that was used for the rates that we have in 2019. So that recognition is already there. We're only talking about how to increase it. So my point is if we're using, I think you know where I'm coming from. Yeah. If we're using that as an argument, make sure we don't have a double-edged sword there.
Okay, I'll carefully either flush that out or remove that and not use that as an argument. The one thing I was going to, and just to wonder if this was part of the answer to that question, is you look at the usage of, you know, these two kind of smaller groups of about 35% of the water versus this large group that is 46%. Those two groups together are roughly 25 to 3,000 customers versus the large residential are 1,400 customers. So you've got twice the customer base still using less water than, you know, a smaller portion of the customer base. So I don't think these would necessarily be the ones that would push the importation. It's the percentage of our customers that are a smaller percentage using a bigger percentage of water.
On an economic basis, I'm just saying that
we
haven't raised their rates for years, right? And I see all kinds of landscaping remodeling going on just in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
There could be a bunch of establishment periods coming up. And there could be an argument that those users could go to 40,000 from 30,000 just because it's not costing very much. It's not keeping up with the rate of inflation.
Okay. Yeah, I see that. I like the method, the tiered method, obviously, and we've talked about it. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be good, but those are things to think about. And the other thing that
I like the tiered method too. I just say, be careful what we're arguing for.
Well, and the one other thing I wanted to point out is after we do this, I want to call it a correction, but where we set up more conservation-minded rates with this rate study, I think moving forward, our rate increases can be a plug and go. And Zions, and we've told them to kind of build the model that way. Like this one's going to be tiered, but next year we'll plug in either 5% or 6%, and that'll do it. We won't have to mess around with the tiers again.
Zions is going to give us a 5-year plan with some smaller adjustments each year. So we're not going longer period of times without.
Yeah.
Do you think as we go along in this process, do you suppose we can ratchet down what that, you know, maybe this year it's 30,000, maybe, you know, as we go over the next few years, it's going to be 28 or 26.
And,
you know.
Yeah. And what that would probably end up looking like is the base rate, that $62 that you pay, whether you get a gallon of water or not, will probably increase. Because that becomes kind of our safe harbor that's guaranteed money. So as people's behavior changes, we will naturally have to push that more into base to make sure we generate enough revenue. To kind of answer your question, because as that starts to come down and we're not making as much money off of usage, then it's got to kind of move into probably a base. And if you looked at historically, we were kind of 51% of our revenue was from base, from the $62 a month versus 49% was from usage. We're moving more towards like 55% from base and 45% from usage because of our customer mix. We have a lot of smaller users coming in who pay the base that don't use a lot of water. So our base is generating more revenue now than our usage does.
That's a good argument for using tier over flat percentage, because you're getting skewed in one direction. You want to kind of get it back to where it was by using the tier.
Yeah.
And so you said, I think you said that you changed the tiering from where you had it.
I did listen to
where did you change it?
What was really changed is we were, whoops.
Go down and now go to your right. There you go.
Where's my mouse? This is probably the easiest spot to highlight it. The tiered was at like 550. We brought that back down to 520.
Can you guys see where his mouse is?
Oh, sorry.
In your finger. See where he's poking.
Oh, yeah. You see it all right? I'll pointer. It's right in here where we took that down to $20. That was 30 before. We gave them, as they used through that, 40 to 60,000 gallons for the tiered. We didn't ramp that up as much. So it made that line chart, the variance between those tightened. So because we kind of tightened up the tier, the higher rated tiers, and stopped them sooner. So somebody who's paying 75 in drought rate, you know, we stopped it at 35. I think it was maybe 40. And this was 35, and now it's 30. So we kind of just flattened. I brought those lines together a little bit from what you saw last month.
Well, Karen, I'm prepared to support the tier tonight.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to hammer or anything.
No, your comment about this was a better direction to go to Zion's.
Yeah, are we okay with having, we have a quorum, we don't have all five members.
You have a quorum.
Like the rate. Is there another opportunity to get back to it? Or is this the last time you're going to be hearing from the Administrative Control Board?
We'll build the model, but we could, it's not that hard to build it both ways. But I think the other board members would probably support the tiered. So we'll focus on that. But that's not, it doesn't have to be a, I guess, sealed up tonight. I like having the decision at least made so we can kind of move forward because we need signs to move forward. If that makes sense.
But you guys get another chance to look at the rates.
Yeah.
I just don't want to hold up. I mean, I've already held up the process for a month.
But Tim, when we called and you talked, I thought, what you said about it being,
we have this discussion.
Yeah,
I mean, we
absolutely.
Need to,
I think you put us through a good process.
Yeah,
because it did.
I changed
my tiering structure a little bit, got a little more critical and analytical on a few of those things. That whole usage versus money. Am I barking up the right tree? And you know, on a total percentage.
Well, so, I move that we give the district the direction to move forward with the tier rate increase as presented tonight.
Second? No, Joel, you have to second.
No, second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous. And, you know, I can reach out to Mike and. I don't think they are either.
Yeah, so Zion's will take this direction and then come back at our next meeting. And then we can go through before it gets adopted. But then this is the segue into the budgeting process.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Oh, appreciate all your input.
I think we're at six.
We are. So we have a discussion regarding contract negotiations with Amerisco for the district's floating solar array project.
So the district awarded, or we intend to proceed with Amerisco. They met all the requirements of the RFP. When we met with them before it was awarded, we made it clear that the contract is based on them assisting us in finding grants or other sources of revenue. It doesn't make sense for the district to borrow money to put this in, because we're looking for a 10-year return on the investment. Anything beyond that just does not make financial sense. We did have another call with their local representative today, just reiterating that Dave has the contract that he's reviewed, and there's a couple things in there that there's so many things that are going to happen, pre-design work. But without that funding, the contract terminates. So even if we go into a contract negotiation, one of the things that we have talked about on the district level is there is 0% money available through the state, through the green initiatives. That's something that we may look at. You know, we'd still have to pay for it, but we wouldn't pay interest with that. We think the Blue Sky is an opportunity for about $500,000. Potentially up to $1 million, but based on what they just awarded this past cycle, $500,000 is about where the bid came in at $1.8 million. The district has just over $300,000 set aside in the capital budget for that. We just want to be able to close that gap. So that's where we are at this point. We're not to the point where we're ready to enter into a contract, and we will bring that to you probably in October. So what AmeriSCO at this point has to do is give us a limited scope of work of what they need to do to take us kind of to the next step, what the approximate cost is, and then we'll make a decision on where we go from there.
You had four respondents?
We had four respondents.
Were they all the same type of companies? Or is there a, I mean, I see that they're more of a developer, aren't they?
So AmeriSCO,
as a contractor?
They are the only respondent that actually has done a floating solar array. They've done work, a lot of work in Florida. They've done other solar projects, some up at Hill Air Force Base.
Fort Bragg.
Fort Bragg was a floating array. So they are,
what do you mean by done?
As in
they have completed, installed projects.
Okay, and they maintain.
So they're not a contractor or a designer. They're a developer of green energy?
Yes.
That'd probably be a good way to
describe it.
Describe
yeah.
them. They'll use D3 as a major subcontractor to actually install the array, but they develop these type of projects is probably a good way to put it.
And one of the second place or the other bidder had a problem with guaranteeing their ability to bond, so it disqualified them from the process, and they were here in Salt Lake. So we just couldn't take that chance that, you know,
so they're a new company?
They've been around a while. They're doing a lot of work with Salt Lake City School District, but all their capital is tied up right now in those projects. So their ability to float another bond, and it's just something that we just, you know, made them, can't remember what the actual term, non-responsive. So we will keep you up to date on that. Any questions?
Where are they located?
AmeriSCO? Their home office is in Framingham, Massachusetts.
Okay.
They have a local representative out of the guy, Daniel, that we deal with is out of
Phoenix.
And as pre-award of the bid, they flew four representatives out. We walked through. So they're willing to throw some money at this.
Did they say how they learned of this project?
I don't know if someone just checks the state website. They didn't really say.
But yeah, they feel very comfortable moving with them, that they know what they know how to get this done.
They're a multi-billion dollar company, publicly traded.
And they do have locals with the Hill Air Force Base. So the maintenance over the next 5 years is done by people who are local. So even after the installation.
And they have done one of these.
They've done several.
It's pretty important.
Yes.
And the books look pretty good too. The books are pretty good.
Yes.
Because yeah. we weighed costs, experience, lots of factors in the request for proposal, and we scored each of those and kind of, so it was a very good way, I think, to get this project bid and awarded. So.
And they, even after the award, they've been responsive, just trying to keep in touch with us. So it's been good. Anything else? Landscape ordinance. After 4 months, Western Summit County has a landscape ordinance in place where people will be allowed to, we now be able to participate in Weber Basin's Flip the Strip program. New developments will not have to put in a bunch of turf. So that was finally approved 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Yay.
It's a long drawn out process, but we got there. I don't know when it officially goes on the books, but
how does this affect golf courses?
So, you know, it's an interesting. There was a big discussion. There was a big discussion about golf courses and cemeteries.
Okay,
and how does it affect the? In my mind, I cannot think of anywhere in Western Summit County where we would see another golf course. I think everything that's going in is here. If they come in for a change, something, it could affect them. But that really wasn't fleshed out that much. We have something that at least we can hang our hat on, finally.
On the landscape ordinance, maybe the question, but are we communicating that as well to people and organizations and HOAs and
we
DRCs and whatever?
We are going to do that more so next spring. The ordinance came later than we thought. And so next spring is where, and one of the things we're going to try to find in the budget and have a discussion about is if we as a district want to pay people to flip the strip, or do we want to just have them participate in the Weaver Basin program. So we're going to make a big effort, and that's all part of our budget process. Okay. So you'll hear more about that in the next.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that the communication aspect of it is really important, because, I mean, people aren't going to conserve unless they're told they need to conserve, or unless we make changes.
I mean, I think I mentioned, I don't know, the last meeting, the meeting before, but we sent out those postcards. Well, bring this postcard in and get a broom. We gave out 25 brooms.
Yeah, two full boxes.
Yeah, right. So maybe 40 brooms. So, you know, it's slow. It's people are, but I don't know, Tim, in your neighborhood, if people are removing landscaping or just changing.
They're removing grass.
Yeah, and that's without an incentive. So hopefully we can see some positive.
Well, their incentive changes. Has been the big bill this summer.
Anything else on the landscape ordinance?
No, congratulations, though. That's great news.
Yeah. Next, Tim has already expressed interest. Next Wednesday, the 21st at 2:00, the RFPs for the design and engineering of our new building are due. I don't know if there are any other members of the board that are interested in that process. There are four staff members and Tim currently that are interested. If anyone else is interested, we would just need two to keep it as an odd number. And then once we go through that process, I would be looking for some participation from the board on the actual design of the space.
If you need someone, just you. Pull my name in.
Okay.
But it only, I mean, if you need someone.
Okay.
You said you need two, right?
We need to be an odd number.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we can drop someone from the staff off and you can join.
No, that's okay. I mean, whatever you think is best. I mean, at some point I told you that Recycle Utah will probably move as well. I know they're having discussions about the Goodall property, and we're always having discussions on Gilmore. We've had other discussions as well, but just know that I'm interested if you need someone.
Sure. Appreciate that.
Okay.
So, any other interest?
No, I'm just excited about the budget, so I'll be able to play with that with Steve.
Okay.
So, 9.
Okay, yeah, did anyone have questions on the department updates?
Let's show our video.
You wanna see?
So I can put pictures in my report, so.
Wow, I love it.
And you wanted to see this.
This was more for my benefit, because I've not seen someone cleaning a tank before.
Yeah, we thought it might be interesting for you guys to see it as well.
We hire a diver and they go in and inspect it, they clean it.
So do you just hire like any diver, or is that like a forensic diver?
Specifically to cleaning tanks. Yeah. Cleaning and inspecting water. Potable water tanks.
We use potable divers out of Vernal.
Gotcha.
We've been using them for quite a few years now. They're good. And, you know, they have to take precautions with their clothing. They have to bleach themselves, essentially.
So they stand basically in a little kiddie pool, and they get doused with chlorine and disinfected, and then they jump in.
Yeah.
So this is, it's similar to cleaning a pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is actually underwater inside the tank. I didn't realize that at first.
This is the old community tank, and the white on the floor is epoxy where repairs have been made. The other spots are rust. And having walked in the old community tank that failed, that is what the bottom of that tank looked like. So I know we have it budgeted to replace this tank. Did we just say it was 2025? But Brian is going to, so typically we have the tanks cleaned every five years. We're going to ask them to come back to this tank specifically in a year. I don't know if you remember. So the resort had closed on Sunday. Monday, the other tank that was up there let go. It just wiped out that ski barn.
Yeah, there were two metal above ground tanks at Community Water
up on Willow Draw. And so that tank looks very similar to that tank. So we may be speeding up that timeline.
Wow.
And then here's for comparison, this is the snow slide tank at the top of the canyons next to the Cloud Dine. And this is the overflow pipe. So he's actually climbing up the overflow pipe, which is anchored to the wall. And there's the top of the overflow, something you guys might not ever see otherwise, because it's inside of a tank. You might not ever see that.
So if the water level gets above that, it just flows.
Oh.
And then this is the work that's being done on the spine building. Having to add a little bit on.
So this was the original structure. This was just an overhang with an opening in the concrete where we would enter the vault. So what we're doing is enclosing. So this is the addition to it. It'll still have the same finishing as this with the stone veneer around it. And that's allowing us to bring all the electrical stuff from downstairs into the upstairs. And this is all work. As far as the building side of stuff, this is all in-house. Our own guys are the ones doing all this work.
So that pit over there, that's where everything used to be.
So that's where the moat, that's right over the pumps. That's how we access the pumps. And then there's next photo you'll see, that hatch is where used to be outside.
Uh-huh.
And now that's inside, and we'll have a grate over it. And then you can see the steel beams that are being put in to be able to carry a crane structure so we can actually lift a pump up and get it all the way out to the door to be able to get it near a flatbed truck.
If we do it in-house, we still have to get permits and stuff, I assume, right?
Yeah.
We're not like the school district.
Ask the school district.
Yeah, the door is kind of this space. The original door was over here. By having it on the end of the building, where it's easier for us to get electrical panels in and out of the building and to get pumps and so forth out of the building.
Cool.
Great stuff. Anything else? Okay, so we've got our timeline So we don't have an executive session. So we've got the budget coming up. What else do we have to?
Budget. And just the one correction is the public hearing. It doesn't have to happen that same day as the rate as when Zions presents. So we're going to move the rate hearing to November 17th. But other than that, everything is as stated on there.
Okay, so board meeting, council presentation, board meeting. Council actually seeing the budget.
Yeah.
And then December.
And then 9/29/10/6, where we thought we maybe have to do a special board meeting, we don't need to. We're just going to combine that into all on the 20th.
Okay. Great.
So you get out early tonight, but maybe not that night. No promises.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Yeah, mostly we adjourn.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Great. Well, wow. A couple short meetings in a row.
Yeah.
We're going to go over what's the next one more early.
No, don't.